Hello, this is Steve Bailey, treating you, hopefully, to another episode of Hard-Boiled Eggs and Nuts, a Laurel and Hardy podcast. I would like to start off this particular episode by giving a slight warning. I'm going to go into, I guess, maybe PG or PG-13 rated material in order to discuss this movie, because I think that the movie I'm going to mention is one of Laurel and Hardy's most suggestive that there might be something going on, shall we say, in the subtext of their relationship. And a lot of people are put off when that particular subtext is discussed. In fact, I wrote an article about this movie for a British publication called the Laurel and Hardy Magazine years ago, and got a very angry response from a reader who was mad that I dared to suggest that there was anything unsubtle going on between Laurel and Hardy in this movie or elsewhere. I can only combat that or contest that by saying that years ago there was a documentary that came out called The Celluloid Closet that discussed Hollywood's approach to homosexuality and lesbianism and so forth. And before the credits even came on, there was a scene from this movie, which I will talk about later, that was actually used right at the beginning of the movie. So obviously I'm not the only one to notice these things. I'm not saying this to be offensive in any way. It's just that I almost can't help thinking that Stan Laurel himself might have wanted to tweak their relationship a little bit. After all, this was the same pair who, in the silent short Liberty, kept literally getting caught with their pants down. So it's something to look for. I'm not looking for anything deep in this movie, or other than a good laugh, but it's at least worth thinking about. So with that, I give you an examination of their 1932 short subject, Their First Mistake. All right. Now, in his seminal book on Laurel and Hardy, British author Charles Barr declares, "Their First Mistake is a film about the Stan Laurel character." Well, more accurately, this movie is about the Stan and Ollie characters' relationships to each other and to their on-screen wives. This short, made fairly early on in their sound movie career, is nearly a summation of many Laurel and Hardy themes that appeared before and after. In this film, we have, number one, an extremely hostile wife, which is de rigueur in most L&H films. Two, perhaps L&H's most extreme expression of their childlikeness. And three, their devotion to each other at the expense of any other relationships. Armchair analysts, and you're listening to one of them right now, have for years made hay of the supposed homosexual subtext in Laurel and Hardy movies. It's always risky to make such inferences about movies that their own creators stated were meant only for a few laughs. But in this film in particular, such symbolism is so blatant as to be unavoidable. Their First Mistake begins, as usual, with a couple of H.M. Walker's witty subtitles. He says, "Mr. Hardy was married. Mr. Laurel was unhappy also." Then we see Mrs. Arabella Hardy, played by Mae Bush, chastising her husband Ollie for spending too much time with Stan. When the phone rings, and who should it be but Stan? Ollie answers the phone and fools his wife by addressing the caller as Mr. Jones. This causes an immediate identity crisis in Stan, who checks out his mirror image and his wallet IDs to make sure that he's still himself. Ollie tells his wife that the caller was his boss, Mr. Jones, inviting him to a company outing. Mrs. Hardy beams with pride until Stan comes to Ollie's apartment to tell him that it was he on the phone. Mrs. Hardy chases Ollie around the apartment and beats him with a broom, scaring Stan just far enough out of the apartment to observe the fracas from an outdoor window on top of the door. Ollie makes a hasty exit, knocking Stan down as they both head for Stan's apartment across the way. Mrs. Hardy pounds on the door and announces that if Ollie spends any more time with Stan, she's leaving him. Well, Ollie seems more concerned with placating Stan, with whom he finds himself alone on the bed. They engage in a prolonged conversation while indulging in mindless behavior, Ollie playing finger games, Stan polishing his shoes with the bedsheet. Charles Barr finds this scene fascinating in its childishness, but actually, anyone looking for gay Laurel and Hardy subtext couldn't do better than this scene. The pair's coyish pre-coital activity combines with some surprising dialogue. She says, "I think more of you than I do of her." "Oh, you do, don't you?" "Well, we won't go into that." So Stan suggests that Ollie adopt a baby, not out of any paternal desires, but to keep Mrs. Hardy occupied during his and Ollie's outings. Ollie proclaims this a brilliant idea. Well, he would, wouldn't he? And tells Stan to head for the adoption agency with him. Stan, his brilliance already evaporated, asks, "What for?" In the next scene, Stan and Ollie are bringing an adopted baby back to Ollie's apartment. It's amazing, isn't it? Two not-too-bright men have more trouble getting a bank loan in Pack Up Your Troubles than they do in adopting a kid. And along the way, they offer a congratulatory cigar to a curious neighbor, who is played by George Marshall, the director of this movie and also of Pack Up Your Troubles. With that, they enter Ollie's apartment, and they find it empty, and are then visited by a process server played by Laurel and Hardy veteran Billy Gilbert. The process server prefers two summonses from Mrs. Hardy, one for divorce, the other to stand for the alienation of Mr. Hardy's affections. Sadly missing is the scene in which Mrs. Hardy would prove her case. From here, there follows a nice parody of the old abandoned lover theme, with Ollie as the jilted mother and Stan as the selfish deserter. "Why, it was you who wanted me to have this baby," wails Ollie, "and now you want to leave me flat." Stan declares that he has a reputation to protect. This from a man who began the film by inviting Ollie to a cement worker's ball in the hopes of winning a free steam shovel. Ollie blocks Stan's exit, waking the baby in the process. The rest of the film consists of their efforts to quiet the baby, and it is here that the movie's frenzied maternal symbolism comes to a head. Much Ado is made of bottle nipples, and every time Stan tests the baby's milk for warmth, he can't resist swigging a few slugs of it himself before reluctantly passing it on to the baby. At one point, Stan's white magic routine, in other words, doing out-of-this-world tricks matter-of-factly, reaches its peak when he nonchalantly pulls a full milk bottle out of his nightshirt, where he was keeping it warm. Ollie's camera look reactions here speak volumes. The final scene shows the baby, Stan, and Ollie in bed. To stop the baby's incessant crying, Ollie sleepily passes a milk bottle across the bed, ostensibly for the baby, but the bottle reaches only to Stan. After getting his face doused with milk, Stan's mouth finds the mother lode and indulges appropriately. Surprisingly, the baby stops crying until Stan finishes the bottle and is offered another one by Ollie. One would almost think that the baby is smart enough to protect her caretaker's needs before her own, but then if the baby was that smart, she wouldn't be with these two guys to start with. So Stan finishes off a bottle and a half of milk, plus a complete nipple chewed and swallowed, before Ollie wakes up enough to realize what has happened. The scene is quite funny on its own, but the infantile imagery of Stan, his face doused with milk, contentedly suckling, is almost eye-popping. To me, it seems like it's an image out of Luis Buñuel's Un Chien Andalou. It seems as though the film can continue in this vein forever, but sadly, it closes on a throwaway gag, Ollie chastising Stan for drinking the baby's milk, then spilling the remainder on himself. More symbolism, perhaps? Laurel and Hardy biographer Randy Scredvet states that an alternative final scene, proposed but not filmed, showed Arabella Hardy returning to the Hardy apartment with a baby that she adopted. Makes you wonder how easily were babies adopted in 1932 anyway. This scene would have provided a fitting conclusion, with Mrs. Hardy, like her husband, indulging in a familial gesture, yet doing it entirely independently of her spouse. Now, I realize it's always dangerous to indulge in this kind of, in the kind of pedantic analysis that kills most comedy. Yet their first mistake, quite funny on its own terms, offers the alternate statement, the ultimate statement on Stan and Ollie's relationship. And that is, no matter how many or what kinds of people are involved in their lives, wives, babies, or cement workers, Stan and Ollie are really most concerned with nurturing and protecting each other. With that, let me finish with my usual blatant plugs. I have a Facebook I'm sorry, Facebook page devoted to this podcast, and it has the same name as the podcast, Hard Boiled Eggs and Nuts, a Laurel and Hardy podcast. If you go to this Facebook page, you will see on the cover photo, first, the URL for the podcast's website, and then also URLs for the many venues where this podcast can be found, including Google Play Music, Overcast, and Anchor, the parent podcast, the parent website that sponsors this podcast. Secondly, I have a website that I've devoted to Laurel and Hardy for the past 18 years. It is chock full of my reviews of their movies, their biographies, interviews with their biographers, and sundry other Laurel and Hardy stuff to keep you amused for hours on end. You can find that website at leaveemlaughing.moviefever.com. That's leaveemlaughing.moviefever.com. And lastly, I adore feedback of all kinds. So if you have anything to say about this podcast, good or bad, please feel free to email me at hardboiledeggsandnuts@outlook.com. If this is your first time listening to the podcast, I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you'll spread the word about the podcast, and please listen to the 25 previous episodes of this podcast. And if you're listening to it on iTunes, please leave a star rating and or a review. It really helps. Thank you for listening, and until next time, this is Steve Bailey saying goodbye.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.